I mean, how do I describe it? It's
bold.
A light.
Black.
Unapologetically black.
Very funny, amusing.
Caring.
You give great advice from a different perspective. Passionate.
Free.
Vulnerable.
A creative.
Sexy.
My girl is lit as fuck.
Always ready to twerk a little something.
Genuine, very genuine.
Resilient.
Like, sixth sense, otherworldly. If you know, you know.
It's so vibrant, baby. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul Vibrant, the place where music, history, and culture collide. I am your host, Lady AC, and I hope you guys had a good Black History Month so far and a good past week. I know I am still on a high from this past weekend. If you know, you know. I ain't got to say nothing else but mustard! Okay, let me stop. But I am still on a high from that because it was definitely powerful, inspirational. Samuel, like what? But yeah, but in the spirit of that, definitely got me in my Blacktastic blackness bag, and I love it. And especially with it being Valentine's Day weekend, and you know we are getting all in our feels, or you know. If you have a special someone right now, or if you're single, you know, still in your feelings a little bit, regardless of how you feel about the holiday, all of us are in that mode and definitely feeling that energy. So why not ride this energy and have a great much needed conversation about love and relationships. Now, one of my biggest issues when it comes to love and relationship is the conversations we are having about them. A lot of that information is pretty backwards, pretty asinine, pretty redundant, because a lot of those conversations only focus on material or just surface level things. Like, you know, people worried about 50-50 or splitting things down the middle, or what you bring to the table, what to wear, not to wear, where to go, what to go on a date, to the point where we forget the purpose of dating, the purpose of connecting with others is to build and find the love that all of us are ultimately wanting and yearning. And we get further and further away from that purpose when we start having these unhealthy, toxic ways of approaching relationships and love and sex and all those different ways. And I feel the best way to combat that is to change the conversation and actually reintroduce actual questions and have meaningful conversations based on those questions, so that we all can have the healthy, authentic, real love that we deserve. And like I said, for every episode this month, I am using music that talks about love from the Black perspective. And for this week, since it is Valentine's Day, can I get a little sexy? Can I get a little sexy for you? Okay. So I hope you enjoy these songs, and we're going to get right on into this conversation. All right, be right back.
Like this.
And that was Darian Brockington featuring Fonte and Cameron Rogers with Love Like This. And that was off of his newest EP that came out last year that I honestly think I slept on. But Darian is amazing artist. Love that EP. And this was definitely one of them songs that I put on that playlist. And y'all know about that playlist. So I had to play that song for this episode. If you haven't noticed, a lot of the topics I talk about are based off of conversations I've had with my ancestors, I've had with myself, or I've had with my friend group, my community. So shout out to all of them. Love y'all so much. So thank y'all for constantly being my creative inspiration. Back into it, I was talking to one of my homegirls, and she was talking about her experience with dating and going out, and she was telling me how, you know, she was having that same conversation with a coworker of hers, but this particular coworker was a European American, and while they both entered the dating world with the same stats, like, you know, they both work at the same place, so of course they have the same job, make the same kind of money. They both been married, they both were divorced. But she noticed how, you know, the European American coworker was having like all this different type of engagement and had literally a date every other day and was saying all these different experiences where her dating life, you know, she may find one person and then some weeks would go by or it was just a series of just interesting interactions. And we were just talking how basically she felt like behind, or she was missing something, or it got to the point, you know, why does it seem like she's having such a actual engagement and it's so difficult for us as Black women to have that? And I've heard that same feelings and thoughts before on Instagram and TikTok, where women are considering having those same feelings, but they started to call themselves like late bloomers. And basically, late bloomers are people who usually the milestones that we're supposed to hit in our teenage years, preteen, teenage years, a lot of women are feeling like they are meeting those milestones more later in life. And especially in the realm of dating, relationships, and love, a lot of women are feeling that way too, especially women of color, Black women. And that led me to ask this question, that are we truly late bloomers, or are we just still colonized or accepting the things that colonization has told us about love and dating? Because as we talk about, I don't know if you guys have heard those conversations when it comes to healing and it comes to growth and it comes to purpose and all those different ways, is that, you know, we have to, people tend to talk about, you know, unlearning and relearning the things that we've been taught since childhood or the things society has taught us. And I'm thinking, if we have to do that with every other aspect of our lives, such as, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, the way we look at ourselves, the way we approach our work, the way we approach our lifestyles, the way we approach how we view ourselves, wouldn't that also apply to how we date, how we engage, how we build community, how we love? And I feel it does. I feel, because the very first foundations of love, of connection, of growth in those ways of understanding what is healthy, what is toxic, what is all that happens in our earliest stages of development. And where do we early develop? In our homes, in our backgrounds, in the places that we grow up, in our families. Those are the very first teachers of love. Our parents, our grandparents, our uncles, cousins, aunties, extended family, inner family. And if they are not having healthy approaches, if they are not defining what love is or searching for love or putting the burden of making up for the love or lack of love they have on us or on the generation that they birthed into the world, that cycle continues. And now you got a whole bunch of people not actually hitting those healthy milestones when it comes to finding love and finding connection and really doing that. Or we continue to perpetuate a lot of the things that we see now. So in that way, I really feel that the way or the start moving healthy is to, instead of looking at ourselves as being late, let's look at what is causing us to be late bloomers. What is causing us to not have those experiences with building connections or with connecting with people? The concept is, you know, you're supposed to date, then you're supposed to marry, then you're supposed to have kids, then you're supposed to have the, you know, the white picket fence and all that stuff. All of that is from a European standard, European lens. It didn't include us. We weren't even thought of. We weren't even in the room when they created that. So for us to still adopt those same kind of standards is very counterproductive or unhealthy for us. From our experiences, we also have normal angst of just, you know, just getting to know people, just putting ourselves out there, just learning how to engage, learning how to maneuver. We have those regular angst, but then on top of that, we have racism. On top of that, we have sexism. On top of that, we have preconceived biases and notions such as adultification, which makes, for instance, Black girls seem as more promiscuous, more fast, more able to be considered an adult and less innocent. We have to stop looking at Black girls as fast. We have to start protecting them better. We have to start really prioritizing their safety, but also giving them the room to grow and have those moments of dating and stuff. Because I don't know about y'all, but growing up, how many of us Black girls had to wait, you know, you can't date till you're married. You know, or how many, or you have to wait till you're a certain age, or you had to wait till your college age to date, or your parent wouldn't let you date. What people don't realize about, and once again, like I said, due to oppression and due to adultification and all those things, that lack of safety, I do give grace to an extent, especially the Black generation for us who did care about us. They understood that the world looked at Black women a certain way. And the way they learned was to be safe and to be guarded and to not engage and try to reduce a lot of that exposure to that. And unfortunately, as a side effect of that, that also kept a lot of us guarded. It kept a lot of us from reaching those healthy milestones of exploration and experimentation of dating and coming into our bodies and knowing how they work, how they function, understanding our pleasure, understanding that pleasure is a birthright, honestly. And I really truly feel that, because, I mean, we wouldn't have a clit for no reason. Like, it's there. It's sole purpose on our body is to pleasure us. But there are still women who are finding that out now. You know, there's still people who, you know, are still learning different things about our bodies or understanding different kind of kinks or understanding the ways in which they show love, they communicate love, which are things that we are supposed to develop when we are in those teenage years and those early college years and all those. But due to the many different factors or our interesting background, we don't always get to engage with until later when we are on our own. And unfortunately, when we're on our own, if we're on our own, or we let the world tell us, which are both kind of setting us up for what we see now. So I think moving forward to have that, we have to really start attacking where these processes come from to gain the level of identity and love and start really shaping that self-love within ourselves. So that way we can use that self-love as a model to how we engage or want to be treated or deserve to be treated by others. Another thing that has colonized or that we can look at about deconstructing or decolonizing that leads into my next question is the partners that we choose to engage with. And I have an interesting experience of that colonization of engaging with men, because we have to also understand that, especially if we date men of our own race, and particularly I do pursue more mostly men of my own race, that they also are victims of the colonization as well. and that they have a unique experience due to masculinity and black masculinity and the concept of malehood and manhood. We are constantly having to go back and forth with unlearning or meeting people who either have accepted what's been taught to them or they are on that journey of breaking that down. And unfortunately, that's where we start to see a lot of this sexist politics of love, where they kind of separate love as something from a male point of view and a woman point of view, when the truth is love regardless. And love is the same across the board. Now, depending on the relationship you have or the connection you built, it can differ or it can be shown a different way. But the love you share is, all of us yearn and love the same way. All of us have a grounds for authentic, genuine love and have the ability for it. Whether we reach for it, whether we yearn for it, but we have that. And I think Bell Hooks talks about that in her book, All About Love, that love is the same for all of us. And all of us crave and all of us want it. But unfortunately, we allow the patriarchy, we allow the sexism, we allow the oppression that as a culture we've gone through to start to dictate how we approach that. So my question to kind of redirect that is, are we genuinely ready for emotionally intelligent men? As I stated, I read Bell Hooks' book, All About Love. And this particular conversation was inspired by her book, Communion, which was the female search for love of Bell Hooks. If you have not read it, please read it too. That's a good one as well. And in it, she mentions about this cartoon that basically stated this woman went to a fortune teller. And she was basically talking about her maid and about the future of their love and their relationship. And she was like, you know, I want him to be more emotionally available. Like, I want him to be, I want him to open up to me. I think that's what she said. Yeah, most of it she was, I want him to open up to me. I want him to express himself. And in response to that, the fortune teller leans up and says, the moment men start to express themselves is the day that women will regret and want men to shut the hell up. But it really inspired that question of, and once again, I'll repeat again, that are we ready for emotionally intelligent men? Because as a result of men truly tapping into their emotions and really being able to communicate how they feel and how express their needs and really be able to have that conversation, that creates a concept of us as women having to check ourselves about our internalized patriarchy and our internalized concepts of what masculinity is. The insidious thing about patriarchy, of all the things that it does, the insidious thing about it is that it causes the problem and makes the problem women's fault. And I say that especially when it comes to emotionally intelligent. So in this case, or love or relationships, because patriarchy teaches that women are the emotional ones. Women are the ones, we are the nurturers. We are the ones that are loving. So it is our job to teach men or mass presenting individuals to love, to care, to nurture, to show affection, to express their emotions and get them to that place. But just as quickly as it puts that our responsibility, the moment men fail to do that, patriarchy turns around and says, well, it's the women's fault as well. Because aren't you supposed to be the nurturer? Aren't you supposed to be the teacher? Aren't you supposed to be the one to tell him how to be? But then at the same time, patriarchy said, but you can't tell a man what to do because the man is the head of the household. The man is on top. The man is the focus. He's the leader. So you can't lead the leader. And so it creates this soundboard of toxicity. And so for a man who breaks away from, and so for instance, if a man who breaks away from that or actively works that meets a woman that has accepted that indoctrination, they're going to clash. if a woman meets a man who has accepted that colonization, they're going to clash. If you have two people who fully accept that, and they both engage with one another, but because that is such a toxic back and forth, they're still going to clash. Oh, and it just creates the chaos that further and further separates and further leaves men alone. Leaves men to be by themselves. And no, like I stated earlier, nobody deserves to be alone or by themselves. No, as the human need, we cannot be by ourselves. We cannot do this alone. And when I say this, I'm talking about we can't do this life alone. We have to have people with us. We have to have someone just to carry us and be with us and support us and love us and pour into us. And we have to do that for ourselves. But it also helps to have that cushion, that support as well. But patriarchy is so insidious in that and tells men that it makes them give them this false sense of reward of power. That at the end of the day, the price of that reward of power is this loneliness, is this depression, is that miscommunication that ultimately leaves them by themselves. But men who are deconstructing and going through that process to become more intelligent, they are being slammed and hit with patriarchy over the head, basically attacking every fiber of who they are. We have to realize as women, we have to change the way that we engage with them. We have to change the way that we approach them. We have to create space for men to truly express themselves and feel safe expressing themselves. If you know you are the type of person who has a limited capacity for people to cry to you or to vent to you or have a limit on that, you have to express that in the beginning. You have to say that in the moment. You have to set those standards or allow, and there's a standards, or allow those boundaries to be acknowledged. And vice versa for men as well. Like, does it help you to cry? Does it help you to take a moment to step away? And as women, we have to allow them that space, because that's how they emotionally grow. That's how y'all are able to emotionally grow and connect together. As women, we also have to check, especially us heterosexual women, we have to check our homophobia that we tend to project onto men in certain ways that they move and act. And while I don't do this, but as a heterosexual woman of that privilege, I do feel I have to speak on it and check it. In speaking to the sisters alike, that we cannot participate in that system either. We cannot be quick to call them sensitive and dismiss their feelings and write it off as something bad or something that is not masculine enough. Is what we do is we once again internalize the definition that was fed to us through colonization, through racism, through patriarchy. You understand? Like, we have to break away from that and learn for ourselves how wrong that is and how messed up that is. Because in the same token, we want to be heard. We want to be given the space to be left alone in some cases, or to walk away in some cases, or maybe in some cases we need spaces to just talk it out. And we want to have that. So in the spirit of that, we have to be willing to give that reciprocity and do the same for the men that we claim to want to be with too. And that's how we together can help build and accept within ourselves. That's just some of the ways that we can build and help and encourage emotional intelligence amongst each other. That, of course, the work isn't all on women to do. And is it all meant to do? Like, that is something we actively, collectively, as a culture, have to do together. We all have our individual responsibility. We all have our personal responsibility. But we also have a cultural, collective responsibility to help lead and give to each other. And that leads me to my last question of, how do we keep the focus on love when we're pursuing us building it, us having it in these relationships? I will say, to be honest with that question, I'm still trying to answer that. Because at this point, I am still single myself. I'm currently not dating right now, just to be real. But I know I'm ready to. And when I do, I know how I'm approaching, because I spent so much time asking myself or reflecting back on those questions. I've also, and I've stated this in previous episodes of my podcast, you know, I also started to define love for myself. Define it, what it means, how it feels, what it looks like. And for anybody who's wants to know, because, you know, I'm being real and I'm being transparent. For me, the definition of love is the active choice of applying affection, care, responsibility, and knowledge, enriching spiritual well-being of myself and others. That's what love is to me. And that's how I go about expressing it. And also, in way of expressing that, also using that to open myself up to other people's definitions of love. But what I know as well is what I'm not going to deal with. I know I'm not worried about what I bring to the table. When you meet me, I'm giving you 100% of who I am. And I expect, I require you to do that too. And sometimes for some people, that ain't, you know, that ain't their tea. That ain't what it is. And you know what? That is okay. That is okay. We have to find creative ways to keep love at the forefront. Now, for me, I love affirmations. So I make love affirmations. For some people, it is reading up on what love is or what they want when it comes. So, of course, bell hooks is a great part of that. But, you know, we can start romance novels. Now, not all of them are the best ways of love, but it does ignite a creativity and a curiosity to see what you would like or feel. Another way is to realize to not take in everything that I see. And especially in this day and age where everything's at our fingertips and social media is constantly pushing out so many messages to us and to the younger generations and really setting them up for a lot of the different toxic, sexist ways of love and connection. Maybe take some time to, you know, decompress and, you know, disconnect, unplug. You know, with me, I love music. I love me a good love song.
Trying to figure out, was this feeling again when I'm with you? closer.
Orisha Dandy with Favorite Fantasy. Another one of my great slow jams that I have on that playlist. And shout out to Marisha. Girl, we need more music from you, honey. We need more music. I know life happens, but girl, we need more music if you hear my show. So shout out to you. Much love, always. The purpose of when it comes to love, when it comes to connection, and really gaining that authentic real is that we first, of course, have to create that energy within ourselves, because we do set the foundation. We set the bar. We set the standards. And we really have to break down and question what we've always been taught, what we are being fed, what we are being told is normal. And everything that is normalized, everything that is given to us, the systems that are set in place, the environments that we are forced to live in or forced to engage with, they realize that when we gain this love, when we gain this connection, that we're unstoppable, that we are too powerful to control. So, of course, they're going to do everything in their power to make us forget that the true power is in how we love and how we connect. So love and connect today, okay? decolonize that mind, decolonize that love, decolonize all this stuff. Like, man, give it back. Give it back. Give it back. I don't want it. And y'all, that is it for me. And I hope that I gave you some things to think about and to pursue moving forward, so that you once again get the love that you deserve. The love that will fulfill you, the love that will fill you, the love that will remind you how powerful you are and truly aid and support your healing. Or create a very beautiful life. All right. So if you want to connect with me, I am on all social media as well. Specifically, I am on Facebook.com at Queen Lady AC. On Instagram, it is _IAmLadyAC. And on X or Twitter, I am Lady AC, all capitalized. Okay. So I hope you have a great weekend. Happy Valentine's Day. If nobody has told you, I love you. I see you. I hear you. And you deserve all the love you can get. And to the y'all, I'll see y'all next week.